Speaking today with Councilmember James Rodriguez, the incumbent in District I. Councilman, you're running for your third term in office. How would you say the second term was different than the first term?
Well, it's great to be with you today, Charles, and it's a lot different. I think the first term, you know, I came in with a pretty good understanding of government, having been the chief of staff for Councilmember Alvarado, and came in, hit the ground running, and but was working under the Mayor White administration. And so second term, there's a new mayor, Mayor Parker, and so there's obviously some differences in the philosophy and differences in their style. And so I guess I had to get used to the new style of the new mayor, and then building relationships with her new staff and new department directors. So I guess that was kind of the difference in between the first term and second term.
Well, let's explore that a little. I mean, how would you contrast Mayor White with Mayor Parker?
Clearly, very different styles. I really felt Bill White was very hands-on and didn't delegate a whole lot of responsibility. Had a very close-knit group of advisors. Mayor Parker's a little different in that she really delegates a lot to her department directors and her senior staff, and I really felt that Bill White was always, you know, his hands were on a lot of the policy decisions, a lot of even kind of administrative functions, and felt that, you know, initially when I got there, that his senior staff was really good at reaching out to council members and briefing us and providing information. And Mayor Parker's staff, when they first took office, that was a little different. I think they were kind of feeling out the job, so to speak. But the communication has really improved over the last few months.
Okay. Obviously, the big thing going on in the city has been the budget and finances. Are you happy with the budget that council just passed?
I'm satisfied. You know, it's hard to cut and lay off city employees like we had to do. It was upwards of 700 employees. You really hate to do that. But, you know, I think we've tightened the belt. We're going to provide core services to our constituents, so I'm really proud of that fact. We're going to have to do more with less, obviously. But the grand scheme of things, I'm still glad that we have police on the streets and firefighters that are in the firehouses. We didn't have to brown out stations or lay off police officers. So that was key and very important for me. I'm glad that we've been creative in trying to fund and thinking outside the box to fund our rec centers and keeping them open for a little bit longer. And I was really pleased to send back over $50,000 from my council budget to the, I guess, well, to the general fund, but we've designated those funds for keeping Charlton Park open. That's a rec center that was on the chopping block, and funding the Milby inner city youth soccer program that was very key to the community. And that's about 1,300 kids that would have lost their soccer program and wouldn't have anything constructive to do this summer. So I'm really pleased at keeping those alive.
I mean, do you think that the level of services the city is providing now after all these cuts, is that the new normal, or do you think that the goal is or should be to try and restore stuff back when hopefully finances rebound?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's tough, difficult to cut programs, especially social programs or programs that are, you know, are helping and making a difference in the community. And we should always revisit that as hopefully the economy gets better and revenues come into the city. It's difficult to cut, but it really, in this whole budget exercise, having the core service workshops and having council very engaged in this budget, I mean, that's all we discussed and talked about for the last 6 months. I think it was a very helpful process, and we really got to see what each department is doing and how they're spending their resources, and I think we came up with a very lean and disciplined budget.
I mean, if finances aren't as hoped next year, I mean, do you think there should be more cuts, or do you think the city needs to start looking for more revenue?
You know, I'm a big proponent of looking for more revenue, and so that's why I supported red light cameras. Obviously, I think that they change driver behavior, their safety, but I do agree with the voters, and I think we should turn them off as soon as possible. As you know, we're going through the litigation, and if there's a solution that works out, turn them off as soon as possible. But that was a key generator of revenue for the city. I think we have to be aggressive at collecting our revenues as well, especially like ambulance and ambulance fees and just our permits and other outstanding tickets that are out there. People that haven't paid their tickets, we need to be aggressive in collecting those revenues.
Okay, I mean, you've kind of anticipated more of my questions.
Oh, I'm sorry, right? I didn't mean to jump ahead.
No, that's okay. And that actually makes my job a little easier. But so you did support the red light cameras. You supported Mayor Parker's decision to turn them back on pending the resolution of the legal case.
I think that's we have to do that. We have to resolve our issues with ATS. But at this. As soon as we can resolve that issue, I think they need to come off.
Right. So you do want to find a settlement that enables the city to get out of the contract?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's talk about Rebuild Houston. Did you vote for the Renew Houston proposition?
I voted for it, yes.
Okay. There's been a few bumps in the road. How do you, what's your view on how things have gone since the proposition was passed?
I really have to commend the mayor. She realized that there was a mistake, and she owned up to it and corrected the mistake. In terms of what it was going to cost constituents to on their monthly bill. From the start, I was I made it a point to go out to my civic clubs to try to engage them, to try to give them information as to what was coming, and try to get them to start calculating what their fees were going to be. So I think that was helpful. And but initially, I did have concerns. I was real curious as to what type of projects we would be getting in District I, where they would go, how were we going to prioritize these projects. So there were a lot of questions initially, but I think overall now the administration has done a good job of kind of outlining how the project and how this process is going to go forward. And I'm glad that we have an oversight committee that will be looking at this as well. And, with any new major infrastructure project or process, there's going to be some bumps, but I think we've come back to and council's been real engaged as well, and Councilmember Pennington's doing a really good job of making sure that we're addressing some of the issues and concerns in this flooding and drainage committee.
Do you agree with some of the criticism that some folks have leveled that people didn't really know what they were voting for on this proposition?
I think that the ballot language was difficult, but again, I, as the district council member, I tried to get out and educate my constituents, and I think that they have a pretty good grasp of it.
Okay. Did you agree with the decision to exempt churches and schools from the drainage fee?
I did.
I guess the devil's advocate position is we're all affected by flooding. Shouldn't everyone contribute?
Sure. And I think initially that that's a tough decision. I know the mayor initially said no exemptions, and I was leaning towards supporting that. But I think they made a pretty good case as to the services that they provide to the community, and so I think that swayed me. And I wanted to make sure that, especially with education, they were going through some tough budget cuts, and I didn't want that to impact our school children. So I think it was a good compromise. And I know some of the churches and other institutions are still a little upset because they want to add on and to build in the future. And I think those developments won't be included. So that's an issue that we'll have to look at when it comes through. But I'm pretty, I feel good about where we are now.
Okay. Last time we talked 2 years ago, you had been very critical of Metro, in particular the way they were handling some of the issues regarding the Harrisburg line and construction. How do things look today?
That particular, that agency under Mr. Wilson must have listened to your interview, because it seemed like they got it, and they started really making an effort to be more inclusive and more transparent towards the end of Mr. Wilson's tenure there. And the staff seemed to be more open and willing to communicate. So they were doing a better job. And so, I really couldn't complain. I actually was impressed with the level of outreach and the many meetings, community meetings that they were participating in and reaching out to. So it got better, after that interview for some reason. So kudos to you for putting that out there. I'm sure they listened to you. And this new Metro has been really fun to work with. I've enjoyed working with Chairman Garcia and the new board members. They've been really active in my district. We have the Harrisburg Rail Line that's They're working on it as we speak, and hopefully it will be completed soon. And we've had a major win for the East End. We're going to go under, not over, at the Hughes Crossing. And so that took a lot of time, especially with the with community activists, with the civic clubs, with other stakeholders and businesses, to come up with a plan and to make sure that it was feasible and it was doable for the city. So it took a lot of meetings and a lot of engineering work, but I'm happy that we're getting there and that this is we're moving forward.
I understand that one of the funding sources for that underpass is delaying a road project in District Iowa.
Oh gosh,
what's that all about?
You know, it's a CIP project. It's a reconstruction of Lawndale, and the limits are, it's not a big chunk of Lawndale, but it's a good size. It's a much needed project. I was trying to get them to do other projects that would they'll be in Councilmember Gonzalez's district now, but they wouldn't let me do it. So they said I needed a project that was closer to the rail line project. But I'm going to work hard to make sure that Lawndale project, it'll stay on the CIP. It'll be delayed a couple of years, but I'm going to work hard to make sure hopefully it can be included in Rebuild Houston. But yeah, we all had to kind of sacrifice. Councilmember Gonzalez sacrificed another reconstruction project in his district, but I was really happy that under Bill White I helped to secure $10 million of seed money to start the project. So we've contributed a good deal, but this was important to the community, and they all signed off on making sure that we had the funds necessary, and they were okay with the Lawndale delay.
Okay. In the last year, the city and county finally finished the paperwork on approving the soccer stadium. Where does that stand right now?
You know, everybody's complaining that we haven't had enough rain in the city of Houston, but it's been good for construction. They're looking to open the facility May of 2012. And so I'm really excited that we were able to get this done. I took the lead under Bill White's administration. And when the mayor came in, it was one of the first things I asked her for. When we started our initial meetings, and she said yes, and she took the ball and ran with it. So we're actually getting a new stadium in East Downtown, part of my district. It's going to be a shot in the arm for positive economic development, jobs for the community, building it and also working in the stadium. And I just think this is going to be a wonderful sports amenity for our city of Houston.
Okay. City passed a historic preservation ordinance not too long ago. Some folks in your district in particular have had strong opinions about that both ways. What is your opinion of this ordinance? Do you agree? Are you happy with it? And where, if anywhere, do you think it should be modified in the future?
I supported the previous ordinance, the ordinance that we had. And obviously, when the mayor comes in, a new mayor comes in, they have their pet projects and things that they want to work on. And so I understood that the mayor wanted to strengthen the ordinance, and I didn't have a whole lot of heartburn over it. I support historic preservation, and I support constituents that want to improve their neighborhood, to preserve their architectural history, to raise property values, and it was a community-led effort, and so I supported it. They met all the necessary benchmarks that they needed to make in order to trigger the process, and you have to support residents that want to improve their neighborhoods, and so I'm really pleased that they got together and did all the necessary groundwork to get the process going. And obviously you can't make everyone happy, but it wasn't a vote against the people that don't support it, but it was a vote in support of neighborhoods trying to better their community.
You mentioned East Downtown. That's a neighborhood that's part of town that's kind of in transition from being, kind of industrial and not populated to being one of the faster growing parts of the city. What sorts of policies do we need to have in place to ensure that, blossoms and grows and doesn't face some of the same problems we all have elsewhere in the city down the line?
Yeah, I think we've learned a lot from the development and redevelopment of downtown and midtown. But you are starting, it is a hot spot. Every time I go out there, I see a new, we've had a new wine bar open up, a new pub and restaurants, and it's becoming this kind of walkable area, with new development. I'm working on extending the civility ordinance to that area to help fight aggressive panhandling and sleeping in the sidewalks and vacant lots. We've had a big problem with that as of late, and we had problems with that in Midtown and Downtown kind of after their redevelopment. And so I don't want to go down that road. I'd like to at least nip it in the bud. But also we have to make sure that we're offering services and better outreach to the folks that are on the streets and that are going through the tough times. So we've worked with Search and a lot of the other shelters to try to get these folks into some type of programming. But I think we're going to have to be aggressive. We need to have a good police presence in the area. We need to make sure that the Dynamo Stadium is on track and also the Metro Rail line is on track and are kept on track. And I think you'll see the development follow. Every week I get a call from new developers that are interested in the area. They want to know what is going on, what is happening over there. And I'm telling you what, it's going to be a shot in the arm for that area once the light rail is completed and the stadium's completed. I think you're going to really see a brand new destination for our residents and our tourists.
Council redid its boundaries, added two new districts. You were one of the people that was kind of in the middle of all that, since one of the stated goals, at least for a large group of people, was to increase Latino representation on city council. Are you happy with the final product and with the process that was used to get there?
Yeah, I am. I have to commend the mayor again on putting out an initial plan that was a good starting point. And I didn't agree with it, but the administration was very open to working with the Latino community. Several Latino stakeholders, business organizations, nonprofits came together to work on a better map. And so I'm really pleased that we were able to create two new districts and also strengthen District I, District H, but also create a new Latino district, which is District J. And I was really happy and honored to take the lead on that initiative, and I think this new map is a better representation of the growth of the Latino community and really will provide us the best opportunity to elect another Latino to city council.
I gather from all the comments you've made so far that you're fairly happy with the way Mayor Parker has done things so far. Is that accurate?
That's fairly accurate. I think she's done a good job handling our budget, and she's had some really tough issues thrown her way and a tough economy, and I think this administration overall has done a pretty good job. I've disagreed with her on a few policy issues and appointments, but nonetheless, we continue to work together for the betterment of this community, and I look forward to another 2 years of trying to make things happen. I've been really focused on public safety, quality of life issues in my district, again, economic development, knocking down dangerous buildings and nuisance properties, and she's been very supportive. And so as a district council member, I really, you need the help of the administration and the mayor, and then I can tell you she's been doing a good job working with me.
And what do you think should be her priorities for the next 2 years?
I think, maintaining public safety, making sure that we have officers on the streets, that our firefighters have the necessary training and equipment to do their jobs. I think economic development, jobs for our community. We really have to get people to work. Continuing the growth in creating more economic opportunity for Houstonians. I really like that she's focused on Hire Houston First. I think that's going to be great for this local economy. And budget, she spends a lot of time on the budget and making sure that we do keep our parks or our multi-service centers open and that we're delivering our health department is well-staffed and well-funded and we're immunizing kids and making sure that we're addressing, the needs of our constituent services as well.
And when people go to vote this November, why should they vote to give you that third term on city council?
I think I have a track record of delivering projects for my district. I believe that I have the most experience in District I, and I'm excited and energized about the future of District I. My goal is to leave it a lot better than I found it, and hopefully that means it's a safer District I, that it's a district I that has better infrastructure more economic development jobs, and it's not as blighted as it was when I took over. So, and I think that there is a record of accomplishment there, and that my constituents know that I'm a full-time council member, 24/7, and my staff is very attentive to the needs of our district, and that we pride ourselves on rapid response and strict attention to detail, and constituent services is a priority for us.
All right. Councilmember James, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.